Today is the 21st day of the month of February. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, greeting you from the holy city of Jerusalem. And we had a great day yesterday. We'll talk about it, Jill and I. Today is the final day of our pilgrimage, our tour, and we'll be spending our day here in Jerusalem, very much focused on the last days of Jesus. And we'll end our time together with dinner tonight. And well, obviously, once it's happened, we'll look forward to sharing it with you. And then everybody will be kind of beginning to very late tonight into tomorrow, returning, making our way back, hopefully with changes that are irreversible, and hopefully being on this journey together as a community has been meaningful. We, Jill, myself, Ezekiel, we will be, like, there's an extended play about to happen. We'll be staying here for another week. A lot of the time we'll be crossing over into Jordan and exploring some of the land of the Bible over there, taking you along, kind of the same way that we did when we chased down the flourishing of the church throughout Turkey and Greece and Italy and Malta, as we just explore how to expand, but also how to expand all of the locations and the filming and in preparation for the new app. So we're not going to leave just yet, so don't pack up everything. We're going to continue on the journey, but this is the final day of our journey as a pilgrimage, as a community, taking the journey through the land of the Bible for this year. And it has been very, very special. And so, yeah, a little bit of melancholy, partly because of the territory that we're going through today is hard, and just partly because of coming to an end of something so beautiful. So that's that. It's the last day of a week. We have a custom around here of just kind of huddling up, gathering together. It was just a week ago, right? And we looked at this shiny, sparkly week out in front of us, and now we have lived it. And as part of a kind of a ritual, I guess, of trying to become aware of ourselves and the impact of our lives, and the true impact of our choices on our lives, on our trajectory, and on those that trust us and love us, we reflect back. We look back over the week. And so let's kind of do that as we're just talking here, but let's take some time today to reflect. The highs, the lows, the victories, the challenges of the week, so that we can learn and kind of trace back, like, oh, that went really bad. Let me look at the steps that it took to get to that. How did that happen? So that we can reflect upon it, learn from it, grow from it, apply wisdom to it, and mature and grow. So we are at the end of the week. Let's spend some time reflecting as we prepare for a new week to begin tomorrow. And let's also take the next step forward on our journey, which leads us back into the book of Leviticus. Today, chapters 11 and 12. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and told them to tell the Israelites these things. These are the animals that you may eat. Of all the mammals on land, you may eat any that have hooves with splits in the hooves and that re-chew their food. But you are not to eat the following, which only re-chew their food or only have hooves. The camel, although it re-chews its food, has no hooves. It is unclean for you. Do not eat the rock badger, for although it re-chews its food, it has no hooves. It is unclean for you. Do not eat the hare, for although it re-chews its food, it has no hooves. It is unclean for you. Do not eat the pig, for although it has hooves with splits in the hooves, it does not re-chew its food. It is unclean for you. You shall not eat any of their meat or touch their carcasses. They are unclean for you. These are the creatures that you may eat from all those that live in water. You may eat anything from the water that has fins and scales, whether from the seas or the streams. But everything else in the seas or in the streams that does not have fins and scales, every swarming creature in the water and every other living creature in the water, is detestable to you and shall remain detestable to you. You shall not eat any of their meat, and you shall detest their carcasses. Every creature in the water that does not have fins or scales is detestable to you. You shall detest the following among the birds. They shall not be eaten. These are detestable. The eagle, the black vulture, the bearded vulture, the red kite and black kites of every kind, ravens and crows of every kind, the eagle owl, the short-eared owl, the long-eared owl, all species of hawks, the tanny owl, the fisher owl, the screech owl, the white owl, and the scops owl, the osprey, the stork, and all species of herons, the hoopoe, and the bat. All winged swarming insects that walk on all fours are detestable for you. But among all the winged swarming insects that walk on all fours, you may eat those that have jointed legs above their feet, with which they leap off the ground. Of them you may eat the following: all species of locusts, all species of bald locusts, all species of crickets, and all species of grasshoppers. But all other winged swarming insects that have 4 feet are detestable for you. By any of the following you will make yourselves unclean. Anyone who touches their carcasses will remain unclean until sunset, and anyone who picks up any part of their carcasses shall wash his clothes and remain unclean until sunset. All animals that have hooves without splits between the hooves or that do not re-chew their food are unclean for you. Anyone who touches them will be unclean. All animals that walk on their paws and go on all fours are unclean for you. Anyone who touches their carcasses will remain unclean until sunset. And whoever picks up their carcasses shall wash his clothes and remain unclean until sunset. They are unclean for you. These are the most unclean for you of the creatures that swarm on the ground: the rat, the mouse, and all species of large lizards, the gecko, the spotted lizard, the skink, and the chameleon. These are the most unclean for you of the creatures that swarm. Whoever touches any of these when they are dead will remain unclean until sunset. Any article made of wood or fabric or leather or sackcloth on which any of these fall when they are dead will become unclean. Any article that may be used for any task is to be put in water and remain unclean until sunset. Then it will be clean. You must smash any clay pot into which any of them falls. Everything in it will become unclean. If any water from the pot touches any food that may be eaten, the food will become unclean. And if any drink that may be drunk is in any clay pot, which the unclean thing touches, it will become unclean. Anything else on which the carcass of any of them falls will become unclean. An oven or stove must be broken up. They are unclean and will remain unclean for you. But a spring or a cistern with a reservoir of water will remain clean, even though anyone who touches the carcass will become unclean. If the carcass of any of them falls upon any seed grain that is about to be sown, the seed is clean. But if water has been added to the seed, and the carcass of any of them falls on it, it will become unclean for you. If an animal that you may eat has died, anyone who touches its carcass will remain unclean until sunset. Anyone who eats any part of its carcass must wash his clothes and remain unclean until sunset. Anyone who carries its carcass shall wash his clothes and remain unclean until sunset. Any swarming creature that swarms on the ground is detestable. It must not be eaten. You shall not eat any swarming creature that swarms on the ground, anything that goes on its belly, and anything that goes on all fours, or anything that has many legs, because these creatures are detestable. You shall not make yourself detestable with any creature that swarms, nor shall you make yourself unclean with them, so that you become unclean by them. For I am the Lord your God. Set yourselves apart, therefore, so that you may be holy, for I am holy. You shall not make yourself unclean with any swarming creature that crawls on the ground, for I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. You therefore shall be holy, for I am holy. This is the law concerning land animals, flying creatures, all living things that move in the water, and all living things that swarm on the ground, so that you can distinguish between what is unclean and what is clean, as well as between animals that may be eaten and animals that may not be eaten. The Lord spoke to Moses and told him to tell the Israelites these things. When a woman produces offspring and gives birth to a male, she will become unclean for 7 days, just as she is unclean during the time of her monthly period. On the 8th day, the foreskin of his flesh shall be circumcised. She will remain in the process of being purified from her flow of blood for 33 days. She shall not touch any holy thing, nor enter the sanctuary until her period of purification is complete. If she gives birth to a female, she will become unclean for 2 weeks, as she does during her monthly period. She shall remain in the process of being purified from her flow of blood for 66 days. At the completion of her time of purification for either a son or a daughter, she shall bring a lamb in its first year as a whole burnt offering, and a pigeon or turtle dove as a sin offering to the priest at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He shall present it before the Lord and make atonement for her, so that she may be clean from her flow of blood. This is the law for a woman who gives birth to a male or female. If, however, she cannot afford a sheep or a goat, she may bring 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, one as a whole burnt offering and the other as a sin offering. The priest shall make atonement for her so that she will be clean. Mark 5:21-43. When Jesus had again crossed over in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him near the sea. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and repeatedly pleaded with him, "My little daughter is near death. please come and place your hands on her so that she may be healed and live. Jesus went with him, and a large crowd was following him, pressing tightly against him. A certain woman who was there had a discharge of blood for 12 years. She had suffered much under the care of many physicians and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard what was being said about Jesus, she went up behind him in the crowd and touched his robe. She said, "If I just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately her flow of blood stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. At that moment, Jesus knew that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing tightly against you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" Nevertheless, he kept looking around to see who had done this. The woman was trembling with fear since she knew what had happened to her. She came forward, fell down in front of him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your suffering." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue ruler's house arrived, saying, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" But when Jesus heard this report, he told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, only believe." He did not allow anyone to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. They went into the house of the synagogue ruler, and Jesus saw a commotion with people weeping and wailing loudly. When he entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." They laughed at him. But after he put everyone out, he took the father of the child, her mother, and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Grasping the hand of the child, he said to her, "Talitha cum." When translated, that means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the little girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. They were completely and utterly amazed. Then he gave them strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Psalm 38. Do not rebuke me in your anger. A psalm by David to bring to remembrance. Lord, do not rebuke me in anger. Do not discipline me in wrath. Indeed, your arrows have stuck in me. Your hand has come down on me. There is no health in my flesh because of your rage. There is no wellness in my bones because of my sin, because my guilt is gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, it is too heavy for me. My wounds stink and ooze because of my folly. I am drooping. I am completely bent over. All day long I go around mourning. Even my back burns with pain. My whole body is unhealthy. I have become numb. I am totally crushed. I groan loudly because of my anxious thoughts. Lord, all my needs lie before you. My sighs are not hidden from you. My heart beats quickly. My strength leaves me. Even the light of my eyes is gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand far away because of the blow I have suffered. My neighbors stand at a distance. Those who pursue my life set traps. Those who seek to harm me talk about my ruin. All day long they plot deception. I am deaf. I cannot hear. Like a mute person, I cannot open my mouth. I am like a man who cannot hear. No response comes from his mouth. Yet I wait for you, Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God. So I said, do not let them celebrate because of me. Do not let them gloat when my foot slips. Look, I am about to fall, and I am always in pain, so I declare my guilt, and I am troubled by my sin. My aggressive enemies are numerous. Those who hate me for no reason are many. Those who repay evil for good slander me because I pursue what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. My God, do not be far from me. Hurry to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Proverbs 10, 8 and 9. A wise heart accepts commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. Whoever walks with integrity walks safely, but whoever follows crooked ways will be found out. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that we have had in the land of the Bible, north, south, east, west, Sea of Galilee, Dead Sea, Jordan River, Red Sea, Mediterranean Sea, Mount Carmel, all of these places that we have been. We are grateful that as a community we can do this, and that the Bible continues to come to life, not only in its geographical locations, but inside of the soil of our hearts. So as we move forward to ending this time, and even as we prepare to continue this journey, we thank you with gratitude, and we invite your Holy Spirit to plant deep, deep, deep in the soil of our lives the things that we have seen, the things that we have heard, and the things that we have learned. Lead us forward into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Welcome back. Welcome, welcome to another edition, episode,
installment,
slice.
Ooh, slice.
Another slice of whatever this is with Brian and Joe.
But also just thanks for staying tuned in.
Thank you. I mean, just,
if you are.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Beyond words, it is, I mean, if you weren't here, we would be talking to nobody. So thank you.
And we may be.
So thank you for letting us talk to each other in front of you. It's great to be here today.
It's a strange conversation, just the two of us.
Wow. So,
hello, love.
Hi, baby. Greetings, everybody, from Israel, from Jerusalem.
And it's the second to the last day. Can you believe that?
Yeah, tomorrow is the last day. And just a heads up, like, we're gonna be recapping everything, but we probably won't be back tomorrow because it will be the last day. There is a lot going on, and then there's a farewell dinner, and so we just won't have a way, but we will be back day after tomorrow, or maybe the day after that, for sure.
Well,
just
I'm kind so
of
sorry.
Depending on what's going on. And just to let you know, like surprise, there's gonna be an extended play.
Oh.
Yeah, because we
do
will...
Do tell.
Well, you know all about it. Well, I forgot to tell you that we're... that we're gonna stay and do this other thing.
What?
So we will tell you everything about how the last day goes and everything ends up. And then we gotta kind of catch our breath, and then we're gonna be spending a few more days here.
No, listen, sir. We are not gonna kinda catch our breath.
We're gonna catch our breath.
We're gonna catch our breath.
I mean, we're gonna need to catch our breath. But then we're gonna go over to Jordan and see several other biblical places there, film them for the new app, but also investigate them to extend the reach of this this pilgrimage that we do. So we will certainly share like we did, like mm-hmm. we do. So this is coming to a close here as a pilgrimage together in Israel. We're going to stay over and continue this journey together as a community around the global campfire.
Yes, so, we are.
So, but just heads up already, tomorrow is the last day. It's an intense day. And then there's a farewell dinner. And then there's all of that kind of the sad, I mean, with the bond that happens on a pilgrimage like this is real.
Yeah, it is.
And so the letting go.
Yeah.
And sending everyone back into life with this connection. I mean, there's like some sadness to it.
I was talking to a lady at dinner last night. A lady that's become my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, well, she was sharing with me that their bus was already hitting them. Like,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be done in a few days. And they called it, I think I have this right, something like Big Kid Summer Camp.
Yeah, I think that's actually apropos.
Uh-huh.
That's fair and true. With the exception of the fact that the bonds can continue, like, and right. not fade if they're maintained. So, yes. So that's upfront, just to say upfront, this is how this is going to go. We will absolutely tell you about our last day because it's really important. It's very much centered in Jerusalem and very much centered around the final days of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, important. It's really hard and a really moving day.
Yeah.
So, enough about that.
And we're back in Jerusalem.
We are
tomorrow,
back.
And it's all of the things that you said, and then again, it's, you know, a bit sensory overload, so.
As Jerusalem has a tendency to be. So, today, we had this really big, intense day in Jerusalem yesterday around the Old City, kind of centering ourselves in that, and today, the pacing of the trip is to leave Jerusalem for the final time and go into the last and final region that we experienced, the Shephelah, the lowlands. I think they say Shephelah here, but I say Shephelah.
You do you, boo-boo.
I'm going to do what I got to do. The lowlands and kind of the final region. So we have done north, south, east, west, Mediterranean Sea, Red Sea, Jordan River, Sea of Galilee, Dead Sea, like all of that. The Golan Heights, the regions of the north, the desert, the regions of the wilderness, Samaria, the regions of the interior in the north, now the Shephelah, the lowlands in the central region. Jerusalem, of course. We have covered the ground, and that is the important thing. It's to really touch all the different regions. And so when we read the scriptures, we read the stories in the scriptures, we know what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
know what it feels like, know what it smells like, know what it sounds like.
Yep.
And that changes things. So we left Jerusalem today. Mm-hmm. I went down into the lowlands, and you can really tell you're going into the lowlands because when you leave Jerusalem, you're going downhill the whole way.
Guessing we went south.
We went south. West.
I mean, look at me getting my directions all right.
You were guessing right.
You knew I was guessing, didn't you? So, okay, we went southwest to the lowlands.
Yeah. And we began our morning at Emmaus Nicopolis. And just like the 24th chapter of Luke talks about Cleopas and the friends walking their way to, well, out of Jerusalem toward Emmaus, and Jesus showing up and they don't recognize him. And he's asking them what's going on, and they're like, are you the only one in Jerusalem who doesn't know what happened? And of course he knows what happened, since it happened to him.
Right.
It's just a funny story, interesting story, but just lovely. And so there's a place that commemorates this. We talked about it. We talked about our hearts burning within us and the presence of the Lord. And sometimes we're just not aware. And beautiful morning, beautiful day.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful blue sky, cloudless, beautiful. Everything is coming to life in the springtime here. The flowers, the red flowers, the yellow flowers, the purple flowers, everything. And the green lushness, everything.
Yeah.
Pristine, in the beautiful sunshine. So we stop at this place. It's an ancient Byzantine church that's kind of collapsed because it's so gone. I mean, the Byzantine Empire is so old. And then just rethought about that story, and then a beautiful little walk around that place.
Mm-hmm.
What a way to begin a day. Especially after the intensity of the old city yesterday. What a way to begin your day.
Yes.
Breathing, drinking it in, processing it all.
Yeah.
Just letting beauty speak, letting nature speak. Loved it.
Yep.
Always do.
Same.
So, and it was nice to hold a pretty girl's hand and walk around and,
Just, so that, sweet.
That pretty red hair and glowing in the sun.
I loved that time with you.
Yeah. So from there, we got back in the vehicles, the buses, and off we went. And we went to Lachish. This is an ancient city in the lowlands, but at the time of King Hezekiah, at the time where things have gotten really rough, and the Assyrian Empire is trying to conquer everything, and they have completely destroyed the northern tribes, the Israel. They have destroyed the kingdom of Israel, with their sights set on conquering Judah and the southern tribes and taking Jerusalem. Lachish is like the second most stronghold, the second most fortified, the second most powerful city only to Jerusalem. And that story is in 2 Chronicles, if I remember right.
Yeah.
I don't remember right, probably exactly right now. But nevertheless, it's a very, like we read it every year, and it's a very dramatic story where King Sennacherib comes from Assyria and he is just destroying everything in his path, and he's using all of these intimidation techniques, and he does conquer Lachish, and you can see how, like, the remnants of how are there, and this was a powerful city. And then he sends the Rabshakeh to Jerusalem just to taunt them, to demoralize them emotionally and psychologically before the army comes. He's yelling at people on the wall, like, Has any god ever been able to withstand the king of Assyria? Where are the other gods? Where are the other gods of these other cities? We have destroyed everything in our paths. Do not let Hezekiah, because who was the king at the time, fool you that God will save you. Nobody will save you. You're going to eat your children. You're going to drink your pee. You're going to eat your poop. Like,
wow.
Intimidation.
Yeah.
Like, and man, they never did take Jerusalem. They destroyed every other city, but they never did take Jerusalem. Assyria never did conquer Jerusalem. It wasn't until later that Babylon and the Babylonian Empire finally did, but that was much later. So
I think it might be Second Kings.
Yeah.
I feel like I remember.
I think Second Chronicles is Mareshah, where we were later.
Wait a minute. I've got the places mixed up. I was thinking of that sign up at the top of the hill.
We really should look this stuff up before we get
It's not like you don't know
I know
it.
This story so well. Like, I know you do. So, it's such a dramatic story.
It's that we've been going...
Go, 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 go.
And we literally cannot remember what we had for lunch or where we were 2 hours ago some days, so...
Yeah, true. But Lachish and the ruins there, I mean, it's destroyed, but you can see how it got destroyed. And there are some really interesting things that, like, the foundation of the palace that was there is pretty impressive. And the city gates. And it's just really interesting to have that context. And loved it. I mean, I love it. Where do we go from there? We went to Mareshah, which is Second Chronicles, and this is the place where our ongoing archaeology is happening. Not that, like, it's not happening everywhere, but this is a place where we can participate in ongoing archaeology as a group. And so we do try to go there, and everybody loves that because we go down in these caves, start digging in the ground, and things come up that haven't been seen for 2,000 years. A lot of times it's just pottery shards, but I heard somebody found a coin.
Oh, did they?
A coin was found. And I heard that a olive or a oil lamp.
On the oil lamp was
a completely
found.
Intact oil lamp, like not broken.
Yeah.
Was found. So, like, stuff gets found because we're digging down, unearthing these caves that are made of chalk and limestone. It's hard to describe. Very interesting. This was a region, like a global supplier of olive oil.
Chalk rock.
Yes, from ancient times and to antiquity. This was a great export place of olive oil. And so olive presses, olive trees.
Yeah, she was saying that they came from Egypt.
All the way from Egypt to get the olive oil.
To get the olive oil. And there's presses carved out of the rock, perfectly intact still. They are so fascinating.
Absolutely.
I really want one for my garden.
Yeah.
But we can't grow olive trees to begin with.
Yeah. But so, we can import olive oil.
Oh.
And we are working on that.
I like what you're saying.
For the future. For the future.
Yeah.
For our community. But this was a great olive oil export place in antiquity.
And there's olive trees everywhere.
These are the lowlands of the kingdom of Judah. And so, and man, the rolling hills of Judah are
beautiful.
Special.
Yeah.
The rolling hills of Tennessee, they're their thing. And we know them. The rolling hills of lower Judah.
Yeah.
Mwah.
Oh.
Mwah. They're beautiful.
What's happening over there?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay, so we're digging, and that was fun. Our grandkids got to dig.
Well, it was fun to see and watch and experience. And
next to our son.
Yeah.
And then Max is in the other cave with somebody. And
Ezekiel's there. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I mean, great. It was, and again, we had a really perfect day.
Mm-hmm. Gorge.
Absolutely. Yes. And so when it's done, picnic, basically. Mm-hmm. Boxed lunches for everybody, picnic outside.
Yeah. And just, you know, these sweet little exchange moments.
The little things we hear and little things we say.
Yeah, just the next picnic table over. Just, oh, so sweet. Like, I'm journaling all these little things so I don't forget. And, yeah, we have some comedians on the tour.
I guess so. There's little things we hear. Because you're getting down in a cave, so you're sitting down on your butt and you're, you know, digging. So what was that lady that... We just heard from a table over, like, she's saying to her husband or some,
no,
a friend,
no,
or
just friends on the bus, like, you came back empty-handed.
Well, you sure got something on your behind. Oh, it was awesome.
Oh, man, there's a whole bunch to share. There's, like, a whole slew of circumcision jokes going on a bus.
Yeah,
and
I hear that. Yeah. I heard about that. Yeah.
So we'll have to...
I'm not sure we can tell them all. I don't know.
I was told they're very clean, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Great. We will take notes and see if we can say.
Yeah.
Probably not. Anyway, yeah, just some lunch outside. Beautiful day.
Really, honestly, like, coming off of being cold and rainy. You get cold in the morning when it's a day that you're outside all day. It's hard to get the bones warmed up.
Yeah, and Jerusalem is up high, so it's just a colder place.
Yeah. So just to have the sun, like, I had to take off a layer and roll up my jeans just because it was so beautiful and to be outside. And
you wore that special shirt today.
I did. That was...
And that's in the video for today, so... Those of you
Brian's
who have been
shirt.
Like, I want to see the shirt from 40 years ago that my dad brought back to me when I was little. And
did you wear it when you were young, or did
I
you just like
have,
hold on to it?
I may have some.
Yeah.
I think, like, largely I just kind of, it just, I mean, it's still with us. So it meant something to me enough to, like, everything that I've been through in the since then is for
yeah.
it to survive all that is crazy.
And at the excavation, the tour guide there, she noticed my shirt. She's like, that is an old logo. I was like, oh yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And you're in this for the first time.
Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, this is the original gangster. Original OG Israel rocking the 80s logo shirt. So
way before that, I think. Well,
no, it'd be 80s.
Yeah, I guess it would be. I guess it would be. Okay, so
we had lunch.
We did that. There's so many caves around that area. We went to a very large cave.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody to see, like, the grandiosity of some of these caves. And, yep. Man, they're like slot canyons. They're beautiful. And so we saw that for a minute, and then... Am I getting everything?
And then we went to the majestic caves.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The bell caves.
Oh, right. Sorry. I was thinking about those little caves you showed me.
Oh, no. We didn't. Just you and me went in there.
Yeah.
Very, very well preserved olive press underground. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. But this was the bell caves?
Yeah, the big
yeah.
ones.
Because they look like bells.
I guess.
All
and then our
carved?
Final stop.
Did you say those were hand-carved, man-made?
Yeah, yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah. So then we're heading back north.
Climbing.
And
no, we were still in the valley.
We go to the Valley of Elah.
Mm-hmm.
which is famous for the David and Goliath story.
Yeah.
And we march out. We walk out to the brook. And all of us are out there and we talk about that story. Of course. And everybody's getting their stones. Mm-hmm. And I guess both of us kind of, like, we did all that. And those are moving moments anyway. But we both kind of had our moment. Like, I ran into somebody I haven't seen since I was a kid. And I didn't even put it together until after we were gone. I'm talking to this guy going, I know I've met you before. And he brings tours and he's famous and he brings tours here. And I'm not going to like name drop and stuff. But when I was a kid, this person like was at my house. Like, was in the music business back when I was trying to get into it. And I'm just a teenager. And
and the dude was in your house.
Yeah, I just didn't make the connection, but
40 plus years ago.
This great, great, you know, brief but great comfort. I mean, he's leading a tour. I'm leading, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not like we can just like, hey, let's go over here and sit down and leave everybody. But we just got to kind of connect, and here's what I do, and here's what you do, and but I was so like, wait a minute, you are so familiar. And I sorted it out later. Like, he was in this group and back when I was like a teenager. And
maybe you wore your shirt when he came to your house.
I don't think so. I don't think I had it then.
Oh.
But I was wearing a shirt.
Oh.
I think.
That's probably good. So,
anyway.
And that's then, a blessing.
Yeah. And then you kind of had a God, you know. A moment, a needed moment, in the middle of the brook.
Yeah. It's so, a very precious, precious woman.
Yeah. And so, we got our stones and, you know, we talked about slaying giants and fighting battles and,
yeah. And I love those moments, I think maybe people, I don't know. I think even for us, there are people in our lives where, you know, we have catapulted, whether they wanted to be there or not, into a higher level of, I don't even know the right way to say that, but the tendency is to think like, we don't get moments like that, and we don't have trials and troubles, and, you know, like, we've had all these moments because we've been here so many times. And I love the unexpected ways that God still comes for our hearts.
Yeah.
In the most unexpected places and in the most unexpected ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was really something I was holding on to at the very beginning of this, and really kind of shared with the group, like, gotta stay open.
Yeah.
You have to put your expectations or what you've heard about this place where God's going to come and rock your world, you know, you've got to put all that aside. Like, you can't relive someone else's moment that they've had here.
Right, right.
They can share their experience, but if you're trying to relive that moment that they've had, you're really going to be disappointed, I think.
Right, right.
I agree. If you can put all of that aside and just say, okay, God.
Like, just open your eyes, open your ears, and let it happen.
Let it happen.
Yeah.
And I just love it.
Mm-hmm. So that was our final act of the day. And we're down in a lowland, so we have to climb back up to Jerusalem.
Which is south. Or north, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
To drive north.
Northwest, I believe. Yeah, mostly north, but yeah. Up to Jerusalem we climbed.
Ascended.
We ascended back to the holy city.
Wait, let's just talk about that for a second.
Okay.
The ascension of Jerusalem in the Psalms.
Yeah.
Explain.
I think we did talk about this already.
Oh, did
the
we?
Songs of ascents in the Psalms. I mean, Jerusalem is the high point.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no going down to, hey, you guys, let's go down to Jerusalem and party tonight. Like, there's no going down to Jerusalem.
Mm-mm.
It's only going up to Jerusalem. And so, and pilgrims have been coming to the holy city of Jerusalem for thousands and thousands of years. And so, you know, back into antiquity, even yesterday when we're walking from the pool of Siloam underground and seeing this new, like, pilgrim's road.
Right.
And exploring it.
Yeah.
It's only up, like we're only going up to the temple. So,
and my calves today are like, yes, we did go only up.
Yeah.
Because there was one stretch that it was like nearly straight up. Like it was
very
steep.
I am loving the calories and the steps and like, you know, because it allows for the ice cream.
Right. Right. Which we did have today.
So anyway, back up to Jerusalem we came, and then we pushed the elevator button and came up even more to get to our room. And so look at us, we are way up here sharing the journey of the day with everybody.
Yeah.
And then we gotta go down to dinner.
We gotta go south to dinner.
So that's the day. Tomorrow is our final day of this pilgrimage. It is, a lot of things come down to this day, including our faith. And so tomorrow we will be spending the day in and around Jerusalem, but very, very focused on the final days of Jesus and our redemption. And so we look forward to sharing that with you. It's not something we can share. It hasn't happened yet, but
that was very profound, baby.
Thank you for praying for us that it is kind of like the seal, the stamp on the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's it kind of sews it all together in a way that is irreversible as we, you know, leave and go back into life wherever and all over the world. We've come from all over the world to be here together.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Yeah. Yes.
From all over the world to be here. And so we have to go back to the four corners of the world and take all of this with us. And so thank you for your prayers as we get ready to do that. But that is all for today.
Mm-hmm.
Brian?
Oh, I'm Jill.
Yeah, you are?
What? What's happening? I just...
You just like, oh... Oh, did you forget your name for a second?
I didn't hear you say I'm. I thought you were just saying Brian.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, why are you? Yes, you are Brian.
And you are Jill.
I'm Jill, yeah. I think I'm still Jill.
It's true. We love you.
We do love you.
And we'll be waiting for you here.
Tomorrow.
This is God's Little Gardener in Texas. Alex, I just heard your request for your friend T, who is going through a very hard time. And let's just pray, Lord Jesus, would you reveal yourself to T, Lord Jesus? Would you let him know that you leave the 99 to go after one, and that he is one that you see and you love and you will go after him? Lord, reveal yourself in a mighty way to him. You know how he best will understand you. Please communicate that to him. And let him know that there is always an opportunity to come back, Lord. You, even on the cross, you told the thief, who just shortly before had been mocking you, you told that thief when he asked for forgiveness, that he would see you in paradise. Lord, I pray that you would help T to humble himself in the sight of you, and that you will lift him up, restore to him friends and family that also are believers that can edify and pull him up. Restore to him work that he has a purpose. Restore to him community that he not feel alone. And Father, help him set his face in front of you and walk every day forward toward you by your help and your grace. Lord, not perfectly, because we stumble along the way, but Lord, daily deciding to go forward with you and not go back to those things. Surround him with your battle angels to protect him from temptations, and move him forward, fully redeemed and restored to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Yes, my name is Valerie, and I live in Northwest Arkansas. And I am in desperate need of prayer. I am extremely depressed. The world looks black. I'm not interested in anything. I can't stand to be alone. And I am just totally miserable. I cry out to God every day to help me, but it seems like every day gets worse. I truly appreciate everyone's prayers. Thank you so much.
This is Marissa in Southern Ohio. I just wanted to pray for Elise, who had lost her mom the day before Mother's Day. Lord God, I just pray that you will bring other women and friends and support into Elise's life that will just help her to see hope and light for the future, and just comfort her heart with those women that can just fill up that bit of empty space. Not that they would ever replace her mother, but that they would just be there to fill up some of that emptiness that needs that filling from a mother. And Lord God, we know that you are their ultimate healer of all these wounds, and we just pray that you would just be with Elise. I also want to pray for Leah in Michigan, who's dealing with job stress and different issues with anxiety and mental health. I can definitely identify with where you're coming from. In the name of Jesus, I just break off stress from you, Leah, and I just pray that the Lord would strengthen you and comfort you, and I just speak peace and wholeness over your body and your mind, that every connection between your nervous system and your brain and your body would just begin to behave the way it was intended and created to be, in perfect peace with the Lord God. And this just came to me, so I'll share it. One of the things that helped really relieve my work stress was getting my personal finances completely under control, because that enabled me to see a pathway of being able to change jobs, because I wasn't going to have that much money. So I don't know if I was supposed to share that with you, but that feels like I was supposed to share that. If you are able to get your personal finances totally under control, that will open doors of opportunity that you may not have been able to have considered previously. So I just pray, Lord, for wisdom over her.
Hi, Dad family. This is Evie calling from San Antonio, Texas. I'm calling today asking for everybody to pray in our community. Today is February the 18th, and we are set to go to criminal trial against my ex on the 23rd for my daughters, Mackenzie and Madeline. The charges are for the continuous SA of a child under the age of 14. This morning, I just received a subpoena from the defense team calling me to testify. Of course, I've already been subpoenaed by the prosecution, but I guess this is something that's common practice by the defense. But what really has blindsided me this morning is they are requesting in that subpoena from the defense that I take my two young boys. I also have a 13 and a 10-year-old, and so I'm just asking for prayer for them, that God will strengthen them, help them to go through this. That's scary and traumatizing. And to think of them sitting with their dad staring at them, I just pray that they'll have courage and strength to tell the truth and not feel intimidated. And I just pray, ask for prayer that you'll just keep each of us lifted up, that we will all have strength, and that God will fight this battle. I know it's too big for us, and I'm standing on the word of God that this battle is the Lord, and that he's a God of justice and a God of truth. And I just ask that you would pray that the truth would be clearly revealed in this.